Amen. It was a very moving time this morning. I had two uncles that served in Vietnam, and no war is good. But that one, I remember them saying it was especially difficult because you couldn't tell who your enemy was. And they were asked to do things that nobody should be asked to do, fighting an enemy that didn't fight fair. So that was especially meaningful to me because I have one of my uncles passed away recently, and another one has been dealing with health issues that are probably because he was in Vietnam and some of the stuff that he went through. But God can heal, amen? And that's what I'm believing today, is that God's doing a healing work, not just in our nation, but especially our veterans. And don't forget, when you see someone, it's important, no matter how old they are, to say thank you for serving. I've watched so many people, it literally changed their countenance. They'll be wearing a hat. The Vietnam guys are really good about wearing their hats, and so they'll tell you what rank or what unit they were with. And when you go up and you thank them, they didn't get thanked when they came back. Most wars, when you came back, we were, as a nation, we celebrated you. They did not celebrate Vietnam. A huge injustice to our guys. So when you see a guy with a Vietnam hat, make sure that you stop and you say, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for what you did. Amen? Because it's important. It's important they know that the people appreciate them. All right, so tithes and offering. I'm very excited about this one. I mean, I say that every time. I just get excited a lot, right? But isn't that should be how we, when we read the word and we discover a truth, we should be excited. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Samuel 5. And I'm praying I can push this paper back far enough because I didn't print it in a big enough font today. So we'll see what I can do here. But this is a passage of scripture that I feel like it's important. When we do our finances, sometimes we can get into what's called a rut. You ever felt like that before? Where you're doing your finances the same exact way every single time and expecting a different answer, right? But I love David's heart. King David was a man who always went to the Lord. He'd been fighting. Think about it. He'd been out fighting bears and lions and tigers. Well, I don't know if there's tigers, but bears and lions, it says. That's part of that. Bears and lions. Okay. But he had been out there fighting them since the time he was a boy. Okay, he had been in a perpetual state of warrior. Always, his whole life, right? But he doesn't take for granted what he knows. Have you ever met someone that's been doing something their whole life and they know it all? And they're not willing to hear what you have to say, even though it may be an enlightening moment, but they're so stuck in the way they do something that they don't leave room to grow. Can I tell you something? Always stay teachable. It doesn't matter how much you know, there is always room for us to grow. Amen? And I see this in David. He had such a tender heart that even though he knew war, he knew how to do war, he always went to the Lord. And it says he inquired of the Lord. In verse 17, David was going out to fight the Philistines, and they had heard that David had been crowned king, and so they were coming out to meet him in battle. And in verse 19, it says, so David inquired of the Lord. What's he doing? He's going to him saying, Lord, what's your plan? I know I got a plan. I know I've got an idea, but what's your plan? And he says, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistine? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Do you see why it's important for you to know what the Lord's instructions are? Because when David asked the Lord and the Lord responded to him, what did he basically tell David? This is yours. Go forward, fight. How much easier is it to go forward and fight when you know the results? He knew the result. Doubtless, No room for doubt. This battle is yours. I'm giving it to you. Amen? And then you go down a little bit further in verse 22, and it says, the Philistines once again deployed themselves in the same valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Well, why in the world would he ask him again? We're just right back here. This is a couple verses later. We're right back here in the same place. And yet, what does it say? David inquired of the Lord again. And this is what he says. He said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in the front of the mulberry trees. That's actually, I looked this up, it's actually, in that case, it would have been the balsam trees. They are like this. I was like, did I get a picture? They're like shrubbery. They're not very tall, okay? And so, where am I at? The mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching on the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistine. And David did so as the Lord commanded him. And he drove back the Philistine from Geba to Gerez. So he goes to the Lord again, and the Lord doesn't tell him the same thing, does he? He tells him something different. And why is he telling him this way this time? Because the Lord knows there's a different strategy that needs to take place. And the Lord is saying, this time, I'm sending my heavenly host with you too. And this time, you'll know because you'll hear the marching of them on the tops of the balsam trees. Okay? So does that sound crazy a little bit to anybody? That you're going to hear marching on the tops of shrubs and then you'll know to go. Anybody lately been out by any trees and heard any marching? Anybody ever been by trees and heard marching? Sounds a little crazy, a little impossible. But what? With God, all things are possible. And even though it doesn't seem like we're in a strategy meeting. Okay, guys, we're going out to war. Here's the plan. We're all going to go hang out by the mulberry trees, okay? And then we're all going to stay there, and we're not going to advance until you hear the troops. They'll be on the tops of the mulberry trees. I would have loved to have been in that meeting. Can you just stop and think for a minute? David's men are like, okay, David, you've been weird in the past, but this is really weird. We're just going to wait for the sound of marching on mulberry trees. These aren't even protective trees. What are we doing here, right? You could just see their thinking, right? But then they're out there, and they're waiting for the sound. And you can just probably see some of these guys that are, you know, battle scars from the battles in the past where David just went out and took them, right? And they're all waiting. Do you hear any marching? I don't hear any marching. Do you hear any marching? I don't hear any marching. But David said, so we're going to do this because he talks to God, right? And they're waiting. But can you imagine what it had been like when all of a sudden they could hear marching, the troops marching on top of the mulberry trees? Can you imagine the light that just would have exploded in them of, dude, do you hear that? I hear it. God is really here with us, and he's marching out in front of us. We got this. They didn't. They literally chased them away because of the presence of the Lord. But so often the problem is we don't inquire of the Lord. So we do the same thing that we did before. What? Three verses above, we do the same thing we did before, and we expect the same result. But God is saying, you didn't inquire of me this time. I had a different plan for you. But God, when I prayed last time and you told me to pay my bills in this order, I was successful. And there's nothing wrong with budgeting. And there's nothing wrong with paying your bills. But do you inquire of the Lord his plan for how to pay your bills? Do you inquire of the Lord his way to budget? Well, I've done it this way for months. Maybe there's marching on the top of mulberry trees that you're supposed to be listening for so that God can go out ahead of you to prepare the way for a greater victory in your life, in your finances, than you'd ever dreamed. But you're not asking. We need to be like David. What did the Lord say to David? You have a heart after me. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. No, all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues. But it was a heart thing. He might have made mistakes, but his heart was to God. That's what we're supposed to be like. We're not supposed to mimic all the things that he did, all the mistakes, right? We're supposed to look at his heart, and that's the heart that we should have. That every time you go to do something, and I know it sounds silly. Lord, I'm going to the grocery store today. Direct my path. Show me what to do. There have been times I've shared with you before, the Lord will tell me to go someplace in a store that doesn't make any sense, and there's 90% off toys. That nobody's finding because they're in a weird place in the store, right? Or the Lord will tell me, no, just hang out here a little bit longer. And then there'll be a lady coming through, marking everything down. And I just follow with my cart, putting things in, right? When you're listening to the Lord, he will direct your path. And the same thing is true when you go to pay your bills. Ask the Lord, Lord, here it is. Here's the finances that came in. Here's the bills that need to be paid. Direct me and show me. And he might just say, do the same thing. Go ahead. And he may not tell you anything. Or he might say, hold off paying this one until here, because something's going to come up. And you're going to need something between here and here, and you'll have it. And then when you get to over here, I'll provide over here. Listening. I remember one of the girls that used to go to church here, she had gotten a blessing. And she was like, I don't need anything right now, Lord. What do I get to do with this? And he told her, put it in your saving account. Really? She's like, it's extra. I really want to do something with this. And he said, put it in your savings account. I think it was like a week and a half later, she went in to get her car done, and they told her she needed her tires, all four tires, to be changed. And she said, my heart just sank until I remembered, I have that. Yes, go ahead and change those. It was in her savings account. Do you see why it's important that we're asking the Lord? We can wrestle and we can strain and try to figure everything out, but sometimes he's just like, just ask me and I'll give you the wisdom. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And when David listened, what happened in his life? Victory. Breakthrough. In fact, I think this is the one, yeah, this is the one that in verse 20 it says, that the name of the place was Baal-perazim, and that means God of the breakthrough. Perazim is God of the breakthrough. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to break us through. But in order to do that, we have to be inquiring and listening. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for this word. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. You are so faithful to lead us and guide us and instruct us. And I pray, Father, we would not get caught up in the routine of life. I pray we would stay fresh, that we'd be listening, God, that when you put on our heart to do something, we do that. I thank you, Lord, even for the little things, like where we go grocery shopping, what we get, when we pay our bills. Help us not to look at those things and go, oh, well, it's just life. No, it's life that you want to give us, and you want to give us life that's abundant life. And I pray, Father, that as we seek you each day, and especially in the area of our finances, Lord, I pray you would lead us and guide us into all truths, Father, that the truth we know will set us free, and it will set us free in our finances. God, I praise you and I thank you in advance for the breakthroughs that we're going to see, even this week, as we come to you first and we ask you about what to do. And I pray, God, that you would be faithful, that when we ask and when we knock and we seek, that you will answer and you will show us and you will open the doors that we're supposed to go through. I praise you for your faithfulness today. Anoint every seed that is sown. We praise you, God, for the breakthroughs that we've already seen and the dare to believe and the selling of Jim's home. And Father, we just praise you for those things. Those aren't just, oh yeah, great. No, we rejoice in those things today, God, knowing that you are faithful. And if you do it for someone else, then you're faithful to do it for us too. And so we thank you in advance for the mighty miracles we're going to see in our finances this week in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Praise God forevermore. Amen. Just give him a praise. Just thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Just how about lift your hands and thank him, and lift your voice and thank him. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise your name today. Glory, glory, glory. Just say, Lord, I receive your words. I receive your words. I have eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit would say to me today. I am ready to receive and ready to believe and ready to conceive in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Such a place of victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue today our message that began a few weeks ago. Amen. This one's going to be kind of a leapfrog message. We're leapfrogging around Mother's Day. And thanks for welcoming Turning Point USA last week with Brother Ross. And we got, you know, Mission Sundays and Father's Days and all kinds of things. But these messages are just going to kind of bounce around between now and 4th of July, kind of like a bell. Ding, ding, ding. Right? But this is a very, 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 very important time of the year to honor and to remember. And just like the video that we watched earlier, I believe the key word for this morning is the word remember. Say remember. Amen. And we've been ministering on the Liberty Bell. The first message is online, and you can pull it up and listen to it again. And it's just such a powerful thing that God is showing to us. I love how he takes portions of our history and brings it around prophetically into where we are today. Amen. And one of the things that bell does, the Liberty Bell, is brings things to our remembrance, causes us to remember. Like today we were remembering those who gave their lives in Vietnam. We need to remember these men and women, right, that laid their life down throughout our history in wars and to their blood and their life, so that you and I could meet in a public building in the city, and we need to be resolute and remember our right to continue to meet in public places and worship God. Amen. There was a wonderful ministry, Bob and Jenny Donnelly, with a ministry across the river called the Collective Ministry. They've been friends of ours for a number of years, but they have just a powerhouse thing going on. I mean, they called this whole month May Day, to bring help to the family and to children. And every weekend they met out in the open in cities like Houston and Miami and New York City, and yesterday, Seattle. Amen. And they had a time of ministry in public and in open space and proclaimed the gospel and ministered to people. And it's just great to live in a country that we can do that. Even though people want to, there's people that want to shut it down and shut it up. But when we remember these men and women that laid their lives down, their blood was spilt, so we have the right to do that and to proclaim freedom. And that's the verse that's on the bell itself, Leviticus 25:10. It's our foundation text. Seemed appropriate. And when you think about our founding fathers, and how some would say that our founding fathers were agnostic or atheist or whatever, you know, there's even a lot of Christians that go to church every week that Leviticus wouldn't be on the top of their thinking. So these men came up with a verse in Leviticus chapter 25 to put on the bell. And it says this: and he shall hallow the 50th year. And this is the specific phrase in boldface there: proclaim liberty. Say proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Just in the red states. Just in your four walls of your church building. Just in your house. No, 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 no. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all, just the conservative Christian, no, to all. Somebody say all means all, right? To proclaim liberty unto all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. Hallelujah. It shall be a jubilee to you. You shall return every man to his possession. You shall return every man unto his family. And you know, next 4th of July, our country turns 200 and, say, 50. It's a jubilee year for our nation. And in the Shemash, the Jewish book that has a lot of commentary on these types of words that are in Hebrew, right, from rabbis over the years, so that Jubilee means, I love this stuff. You can find this powerhouse statements that mean things to us today, right? It means that land and freedom are divine gifts, right? Ownership reverts. This is during the year of Jubilee we're talking about, okay? Land and freedom are divine gifts. Ownership during Jubilee reverts to those to whom he wills it. I heard one phrase, reset. Pastor Hank, Lord of Hosts Church, Pastor Hank Kuhneman, thank you. I love you guys. Ross last week was so impressed that you guys actually seem to know the Bible. He was like, I've preached in so many churches that it's like looking at frogs in a hailstorm. And he's like, you guys read your Bibles. He's like, it's so refreshing. I think it really ministered to him coming here last week. Amen. But Pastor Hank, again, the last name, Kuhneman. I watch him every week, but I just know him as Pastor Hank. Right? Prophetic ministry. And the Lord gave him a word that we are in a season of divine reset. And I saw it in the Shemash right here. Right? Ownership is reverting to those whom he wills it. His people are in places of authority. Right? They're in places of leadership and authority. And it's a mighty thing. Yeah, there's still voices out there that want to take the ship down. Right? But he is raising up leaders in this time that we are in that are phenomenal. And we need to be rejoicing every day and praising God every day for these things, right? And it means also in the Shemash, we need to remember there is a supreme owner, capital S, capital O. Who does all this ultimately belong to? Not just this country, but the planet, right? To God. So we are stewards of his stuff. That's why Christians can't sit back in their pews and just let the world go to hell. It's all God. They would use something like this. Yeah, he's the supreme owner, so I don't have to do it. No, yes, you do. There's this thing called stewardship. Voting, being a voice, speaking up. Participation, learning, educating ourselves. This is called being a steward of God's stuff. This nation belongs to God, and he's reverting it back to those whom he wills it, which are his people, the covenants that he made with our forefathers, right? That never changed. To God, that's like a few minutes ago when he promised all these things, right? Amen. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, when we're talking about the title of this message, let freedom ring. Galatians 5:1, for it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I love that anytime I see the word us, I think U.S. in many cases, currently, in this time that we are in. I would pray these things throughout all the COVID stuff and the shutdowns and the craziness of the past 4 years, especially. I found verses. In fact, we have a message online on our website on the Love the USA page that goes through verses that talk about U.S. that we can pray, right? So when it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us, the U.S., free, right? Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Have you noticed the devil trying to enslave anybody, right? There's everything from trafficking to drugs to all these mountains of societal influence with media and news, education, the children, all it's a war, right? It's a holy war. Faith doesn't mean everything is easy, right? There's a fight of faith, and we need to remember who the enemy is, obviously, right? But we need to stand firm and take our stand of faith and not allow the devil just to have his way in our houses, in our homes, in our nation, in our families, in schools. That's why intercession is so powerful, right? But the word ring, somebody say ring, means, this is from Dictionary.com, I believe, is where I got a lot of this. But to give forth a clear and resonant sound. How many believe the message should be clear? I mean, when you get alarm clocks in the morning, generally are not mellow, right? It's a clear to bring them awake and bring them alert, right? So a clear and resonant sound, to be filled with sound, the word ring, right? To sound loudly, to sound by striking. There's action involved here, right? To announce or proclaim, to usher in or usher out. How many know there's things we need to usher in and things we need to usher out? There's people in places of authority that we need to usher in and usher out. Glory to God. Amen. It means words like summon, signal, continued sound. This isn't just a one-time thing. Continued sound. Just because things look like they're going well, a lot of Christians have quit, dropped the ball. Well, so-and-so, the Trump's in office, we can all just go back to life as usual. No. We, the people. Amen. The devil isn't taking any time off. He's not letting down. He's not quitting his plans of steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy. Right? Lie, cheat, kill. So we need to stay on target. Let the sound resound on the inside of us. It means repeated or reverberated. My dog is like 100 and something years old now in dog years. He doesn't hear too good anymore, but he does hear certain things. It's almost like if he wants to hear. Sometimes it has to be a repeated sound. Sam, or, you know, come, down. And then you got to say it again, down, come. Of course, you love him up and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, clear, concise, repeated, consistent. How many know we need to be consistent in our values, consistent in our faith, consistent in the word? Because we have, I heard Kenneth E. Hagin give one compliment to the devil. He's a very persistent cuss. So we have to be very persistent in the word of God. It's the idea of the bell ringing out from on the inside of us. Amen? Some common uses of bells. Calling to worship. And the word call is going to be key for the next few messages. Call. Somebody say call. You get a phone, think of a phone ringing, right? Calling to worship. Announcing events. Warning signals. Warning, 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 right? And the marking of time. Glory to God. We are passing through some amazing, supernatural, divine time frames in the God calendar. It's time for us to be ready and on ready 24/7, man. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. But I want to specifically talk about today the call to remember the cost of freedom. And they talked, you know, in the message before, we talked about how the crack in that bell actually goes up and right through the word liberty. And they talked about in the message last week, and the gentleman we looked at and I was listening to a couple weeks back talked about that indicates freedom, liberty is a fragile thing and needs to be protected. Hallelujah. Right? So it's time on a perfect day of Memorial Day weekend to remember the cost of freedom. Freedom isn't free. Amen? John 15:13, we brought up earlier, greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And I always want to, on Memorial Day, just remember the numbers of soldiers that gave their lives in battles throughout the years. And I put them in your notes today, not in chronological order, but in order of how many died in different battles, different wars. So the Civil War, and we need to say it to honor them and to remember the cost. This is human beings' lives laid out for freedom so others could be free, right? So the Civil War, it was the biggest of all time. 600, and because it was us against us, right? And about liberation of slavery, right? Such a vital thing, right? But 620,000. In World War II, that was next in number, 405,399. When we think about the atrocities of Hitler and the Nazis and what they were doing, trying to literally eradicate Jews, and that spirit is still alive in the world today, anti-Semitism. We heard, many of you probably heard about the young couple that was murdered outside of a museum in Washington, D.C. this past week by a Free Palestine guy. Evil, devilish, demonic, same spirit. But these men laid their lives down, put their blood in the ground to free people from such demonic stuff, right? World War I, 116,516. Vietnam, we give an honorable mention today because of the 50th anniversary this year of the end of Vietnam. 58,209 men. And as Shelley mentioned, there was not an honorable welcome when they returned because of all the civil rights craziness and the same issues that are going on today, right? We honor them. The Korean War, 36,574. The Revolutionary War, 25,000. The War of 1812, 20,000. I imagine that's an exact number because they made us not know exactly how many back then, right? The Mexican-American War, 13,283. Iraqi Freedom, now we're getting to modern day, right? 4,418. Enduring Freedom, 2,349. Back in history a bit again to the Spanish-American War, 2,446. Persian Gulf War, 383. We honor their lives today. We remember them. We remember the cost of freedom. Freedom isn't free. Hallelujah. But I also like to, on Memorial Day, bring up the spiritual side of the battle that we're in. How are Americans dying? It's a somber thing, but it's something to look at, right? And look at this. In 2023, the leading causes of death in the United States were heart disease, 702,880, cancer, 608,371, and unintentional injuries, 227,039. And may I just take a moment to say how awesome it is, again, the leadership that is in our nation today, people like Mr. Kennedy, who are bringing things out about the overall health of our nation, of our children, and how a lot of these kind of things could be prevented with proper diet and just simply educating people on such things, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But some of the more of the injustice side now. This has always bothered me, and it should bother you too, that abortion numbers are not included in our mortality rates. Just pause and think of that. 1,026,700 abortions were performed in the United States in 2023. In 1 year. Since Roe v. Wade, it's well over 65 million, I believe, or something. It's a travesty. It would be the number one leading cause of death in the U.S. if it were, and it is, if it were put on the mortality rates, right? I emailed Jamie Herrera Butler when she was in office, and I said, would you please look into this? Would you please push to get this added to the national mortality rates? No response. Found out later, she's a rhino. Right? She's a Demopublican. So, and we don't blame any one person, but the point is, we need to speak out and speak up. Be a voice for those who have no voice. The Liberty Bell is now silent, but it still rings out loud and true, right? And we need to be people that speak out for those who have no voice. Be a voice for those who have no voice. Children. Our governor, Mr. Ferguson, right now, signed a crazy law from the radically left legislator in Washington State. There was one guy on there that's a good conservative, and he spoke out. But they basically are making it hard on parents with kids in public schools to know what's happening in your kid's life, right down to if they were sexually abused in school. They're not going to tell you anymore. Somebody say, that's straight up evil. Evil and unjust. Adults, we're talking about adults in high places of authority, making a lot of money. Straight up child abuse. This ought not be in our land. I want to look up Lamentations 8. I'm not going to keep you super long today. But Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 through 23, it's not in your notes, but I wanted to share that today. It says this, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers, say remembers, right? And sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Somebody say, this I recall. This I remember. And therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God. Somebody say, he's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's the one who's bringing us through this. And you know, every one of these children that were, you know, dismembered in their own mother's womb, you know, is right before his face. Right now, he doesn't forget. Right? And so, just simply, we just need to be people that are praying, that are speaking up on behalf of children, that are showing up, speaking up, ringing out, remembering these things, this injustice, right? I don't think any one of these thousands and thousands of men that were brutally killed in other foreign lands for innocent people in, you know, Nazi Germany or wherever else, I don't think any of them even would conceive they were doing that so that a woman can have her baby murdered. No, not at all. Come on, Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Well, I want to show you one more video clip because we have some amazing leaders in this nation. And I'm so grateful for broadcasts like Victory News. Victory News also brought about another fact that they showed us, that there is, there's a study coming out, and more things that, you know, there's been a lot of cover-ups, a lot of corruption, and just things like the COVID shots. They're finding more and more information that's leading to probably hundreds of thousands of people died in our country because of the COVID shot. Joe Rogan was speaking about this on his broadcast, and he said it's probably a combination, I think he said, of Vietnam and World War I, and like literally over 500,000 people that they can pretty much confirm so far that died because of getting the COVID shot. And how evil of a time period that was, that our own country would push that on everybody. Everybody must do this. Everybody must do this. If you don't do this, you're out of the military, you're out of the classroom, you're out of the hospital, you can't go to the Blazer game, you can't go to the movies, you can't go to the restaurant, putting people against people, family member against family member, evil stuff. Right? Just evil things. right? Now, but we need to rejoice and stay in an attitude of faith and praise and hope while we're addressing these things, admitting these things, coming to reality of these types of things, right? But I want to show you some powerful stuff here because, man, we have some home run hitters in office right now. J.D. Vance is one of them. And I've got a small clip here to show you as we get ready to conclude here. I'm looking for my time frame of 22, looks like. And this is from Victory News, Tim Fox. I love Tim Fox. So just this will be maybe, I don't know, maybe a two-minute clip, but I wanted to show you this. This is a powerful thing to rejoice about.
Mike, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is under fire for leading a prayer during a voluntary event at the Pentagon on Wednesday. Now, critics blasted Hegseth for failing to maintain the separation of church and state and blatantly violating the Establishment Clause in the Constitution. Meanwhile, supporters rightly claimed his actions were entirely constitutional.
If you would bow your head in prayer.
King Jesus, we come humbly before you, seeking your face, seeking your grace, in humble obedience to your law and to your word. We come as sinners saved only by that grace, seeking your providence in our lives and in our nation.
That's a good prayer. The Secretary's hometown pastor, Brooks Pottinger, delivered a sermon during that event. Hegseth suggested the 30-minute prayer service might become a monthly event and held voluntarily. And Vice President J.D. Vance was in Annapolis, Maryland earlier today to deliver the commencement speech for the U.S. Naval Academy.
Your service will bring new challenges and environments, including ones unfamiliar even to those who have served before you. You will deploy new equipment, new systems, and new technology. And through those experiences, it is you who will learn, who will teach others, and will help our services and our entire country adapt to the future we're confronting.
After that speech, he stood and shook the hand of every one of those graduates there. And he went on to say in that speech that the Trump administration recognizes the most valuable resources are the men and women who put on the uniform and risk their lives for this country, Mike.
Good point, Tim. And before we go, let's bring in Convention of States Action President Mark Meckler one more time. Mark, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth fired back at criticism for hosting a prayer service at the Pentagon yesterday.
Appealing to heaven, to God, is a long-standing tradition in our military. I'm very proud that we're starting a monthly voluntary service at the Pentagon. George Washington was on bended knee with the troops, praying for God's providence and protection in that moment.
Very good historical reference there. Mark, do you find it almost unreal that the opportunity to pray has to be argued for those who risk their lives for this very nation?
It really is incredible, and it shows how far we've drifted from the founding principles. I know that the SecDef understands the founding principles of the country. He's a smart guy. He's a pious guy. I love Pete Hegseth, and thank God for him and President Trump returning this country to God right where it belongs.
Somebody say glory to God, right? That's the result of your prayers, your fasting. Stuff is happening. Good things are happening. The Secretary of Defense, realizing where our true defense comes from. That's huge, right? Our vice president speaking at the Naval Academy's commencement. Glory to God. These things are so marvelous. And I'm grateful for broadcasts like Victory News that bring us these things. So there's hope and there's stuff happening and it's marvelous, but we need to keep our foot on the devil's neck in prayer and just continuing on with what we're doing, amen? This battle ain't over, right? But wouldn't it be great to see in years to come, I'm just throwing this out there. What about, let's see, when's the next election, 2028? What if it was Vance DeSantis? Woo, come on. For 8 years of that, and then DeSantis somebody else for the next 8 years. Come on, Jesus, right? We're in a window here. We're in a window here that God is doing awesome things. And I know it's not all about the president, but these things are so encouraging. And it affects the entire military. The military was treated like garbage if they didn't get the shot. Like, you selfish, you don't belong in this milk, get out. And that was a national security issue, big time, man, big time, right? Craziness, craziness. So praise God for the common sense, the good, integrity-filled, faith-filled men and women that are back at the top. Glory to God, because leadership, John Maxwell said, leadership, everything rises and falls on leadership. Hallelujah. And we just need to keep our faith out there, keep our pedal to the metal in the spirit, and just rejoice, 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 rejoice at all the wonderful things God is doing. But I want to close today with Psalm 91. We're going to pray that. We're going to pray this psalm. We're going to say it, but we're going to pray it over our country, over our troops. Hallelujah. Glory to God for all these wonderful things, for Mr. Hegseth. And wow. I mean, after the past number of years, you just can't help but say, wow, what a change. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for being here and receiving and just being a voice, right? And Mr. Trump out there. I mean, these are glorious things. The Prime Minister of Israel, glorious things. Leadership. Hallelujah. We remember them, Father, in Jesus' name. But we're gonna close with this scripture, Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Somebody say the Most High, right? We need to remember who our faith is in. We work and vote and speak and put out effort like it all depends on me, but we pray and fast and praise and worship like it all depends on God. It's a partnership. It's a partnership. Amen. I love the image of the Vietnam, the statue that President Reagan in that video is referring to with all the men. And we know the Vietnam War was a questionably just war, obviously. We're still fighting on behalf of people that were, you know, trying to help people get free. But man, terrible things. And those three guys, just band of brothers, arm in arm. You know what? I don't know why we're here, but we got each other. We got each other. We're encouraging each other, right? So we need to be people that even if we don't understand or it doesn't all make sense, we're encouraging one another in our faith in Christ Jesus and being real good about encouraging ourselves in Christ Jesus, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We speak this over our nation, over our troops. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I've heard this referred to as the soldier's psalm. That men would memorize this in places of danger, and they were supernaturally protected throughout history. The word works, man, right? Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, from the radical left, from the craziness, from the abortionists, from the people that hate kids and hate families and hate law and order. Come on, right? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth, somebody say truth, right? Shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. We speak that in the name of Jesus over our military all over the world. over Israel as well in Jesus' name. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you, the marching in the mulberry trees. Right? To keep you in all your ways, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. We trample on demons and devils in the name of Jesus, right? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. We pray that over the people. We the people love, love, love the truth, love the Bible, love God, love common sense, love righteousness, love law and order in the name and by the blood of Jesus. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Somebody say amen. So, Father, we thank you for these words today. Why don't we all stand up on our feet as we wrap it up here this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the truth of your word that prevails over unrighteousness, over sin, over perversions, over lawlessness and murder and hatred and anti-Semitism and all these crazy things the devil conjures up. We bind it in the name of Jesus. And we release just the power of your righteousness and your love and your peace to surround and protect our military, to surround and protect our leaders, their minds, their spirits, their souls, and their bodies, that they will just have a knowing on the inside that you're with them, that they'll feel the strength of our prayers, that they'll experience the supernatural, that they'll know your voice and know that you're with them. Oh, Father God, we commit ourselves to be people of prayer, people of intercession, people of action, as led by your Spirit. And we remember the cost of freedom today. And we honor these people, these men and women that have given their lives over the years for freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise, Lord, that their blood is not spilt in vain. And we praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody.